y'all, and welcome to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. I'm super excited for this week's episode. We are continuing on with our series of Sunday school stories, and this week we are talking about Satan tempting Jesus. This is somewhat of a popular story, but maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. I'm excited for you to share in this discussion with us as you're listening in. Write some notes, be a part of this conversation wherever you're listening or wherever you're watching from. And I'm excited for this conversation. I have the privilege and honor of having Kiara Upshaw on our episode for today. She is a wife, she's a mother, and she looks not old enough to have either one of those. But she has an amazing ministry called Grow Black Girl Grow, and she is all about being an advocate for mental health, specifically within the Christian community. If you all know, as a whole, the church is getting better, but mental health is not normally discussed or discussed well within the church. And she stands in the gap between the mental health world and the Christian world and bringing those two things together so that we know exactly how we can have the right attitudes, perspectives, and so much more as we live this thing out for Christ. She is a Christian life coach as well. And so I'm excited for y'all to hear from her. And Kiara, welcome on.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Stephanie, for the opportunity.
Yeah, this is going to be good. So you chose Satan Tempts Jesus. So we're going to get right into it. And for those that are listening or watching, this verse that we're reading from is just one account of the same event happening. And so you can also find it in the other Gospels as well. You can find it in Matthew. You can find it in Mark. But we're just choosing to read the version from Luke. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 4. Got my Bible right here. We're going to be in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And it's 13 verses, but we're going to go ahead and read them through, and then we'll get into some discussion about these. So starting in verse 1, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.' And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' And when the devil had ended, every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." So that is, like we say, somewhat of a famous Sunday school story, is of Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness. And there's a lot of stuff that we can dig into first. But first, I just want to pass it over to you, Kiara. What was the reason why you chose this specific passage to share on the podcast?
Absolutely. So as always, God does everything for a reason. And for those of you listening, Stephanie and I had actually connected about this probably maybe a month and a half before we even are recording right now. And this verse stood out to me, and I was so happy when you told me I was able to do it. But the flip side of that is this verse in and of itself means so much more to me now than it did when I chose it originally. So part of the reason why I have been taking a break from social is because I actually had an anxiety attack the day before Thanksgiving. And as I was preparing myself for our interview, rereading the scripture, as always, there's so many layers to God, and every single time you read his word, there's new meaning to it, depending on the season of your life. And this story in and of itself just meant so much to me. And it really just confirmed everything that I was going through in my anxiety attack. So if you're unfamiliar with anxiety, it is just like constant thoughts going in your head, feelings in the body. For me personally, I experienced a lot of irritability and crying spells. And I was just dealing with so much overwhelm leading up to Thanksgiving, to where it all just hit me. So when I was reading this story again and seeing how Jesus was being tempted, I was like, first of all, we already know Jesus is the model, but it's just like, okay, Jesus, I see you being the model right now. But Jesus is literally showing people what it means to be mindful. Like, mindfulness isn't this whole taboo thing where you just have to sit there and hum and, you know, do all those things, even though you can, if that's what you want to do. And I do sit and meditate for like 30 minutes or so, but this is mindfulness, like in real time, you just being grounded by God's firm word and telling the devil, like, no, you can't have me. You cannot have my mind. You cannot make me do anything that is outside of the will of the Father. And this verse just blessed my heart so much, because in the moments of me dealing with my anxiety attack, I constantly was like, no, you know, like, devil, you cannot have me right now. Yes, I'm overwhelmed because of things that are happening in my life, but I'm still not going to succumb to the lie that you're placing in my mind right now.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you had a moment where you could just firsthand, like, boom, I can relate to this. And I know that so many of us also can relate to the same thing, whether we have put a name to it as anxiety, or whether we just feel kind of off, or like you say, just overwhelmed. A lot of us can see that Jesus is the example and shows us this is how we can overcome those feelings. This is how we can overcome those thoughts that are coming our way. And I like that you brought up mindfulness. I feel like let's get into it a little bit, right? Because this is your area of expertise. And I wanted to shed light on that. One, for the Christian community, but even a step further, like, both of us are Black women. And we know that within the African-American culture, it's just, unfortunately, not talked about. You don't, you know, practice mental health per se. And if you do, it's like, oh, you're the one girl over there. You know, like, it's not a common theme. Counseling, therapy, we're getting better. But a lot of us as a whole, our culture is just not, like, you know, prone to doing that. And so when we hear mindfulness, whether just Black women or specifically like just Christian women, a lot of us can be like, that sounds nope, that's the devil. So get into it a little bit. Can you explain to us, using this scripture as a perfect passage, what does that look like to be mindful within a Christian setting?
Absolutely. So mindfulness has no respect to religion, race, ethnicity, or anything. It is really just a practice of being impartial of your awareness. And when I first learned about mindfulness, it was through the secular way of just being mindful of yourself and your thoughts, your emotions, all the things. But I still struggled because I was like, okay, now what? How am I supposed to make meaning of these things? And what am I supposed to do with how I feel? And so I wasn't consistent. I was like journaling, and it was wonderful, but I was like, okay, now what? Like, what am I supposed to do now? And I was so fortunate enough to have an encounter with God where he literally showed me through a situation with my husband about how I can actually take my practice of mindfulness, merge it with Christian values, and really have something to match back to. That's what I call it. Whenever I practice mindfulness, I do ground myself and I do focus on me, how I'm feeling, and all the things. And then I take it a step further and I match it back to the values of God. I know that God is love. I know that he's patient and he is kind and so forth and so on. And so if I am reflecting on myself and how I am doing in that moment, and if anything is contradicting who I know God is and who he has called me to be, okay, God, it's time to fix it. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, direct me so that I can be like you, so I can show up like you in all areas of my life, because I'm not here of myself. I'm here for a greater purpose. So when we think about this verse here and how I said earlier, Jesus is the model. He is showing us what it means to be mindful. So he was tempted 3 times. The first time he was tempted, Satan said whatever it was that he needed to say. And then he went back and said, no, because Jesus said this, or God said this. And then Satan came again. And Jesus said, no, because God said this. And then he came a third time. So that is being mindful. It is you being aware of your thoughts. So we're going to say, you know, Satan is the thought, right? If we want to just make it plain, Satan is your thought. You being able to go back to God's word and use God's word in relationship to that thought that you're having or to that feeling you're experiencing, that is being mindful. We cannot negate the fact that we go through these things because we are on this plane. We're on earth. So Jesus, again, is the model showing you he's here. He's experiencing these feelings, these thoughts, these things by Satan, but he's not going to succumb to it because he knows who his father is. He knows his father's words in and out. So anytime the devil comes and says something to you that is not written in his word, you can say, yeah, no, that's a lie. That's untrue. You know, all these things so that you can really, really walk in God's authority.
Yeah, I love that. And that's why I'm so passionate about everyone knowing the word of God, not just walking around with a cute little Bible and, you know, and just showing it off, but actually knowing what's in it, because this is our weapon. Like, this is literally how we fight. And we're not making this stuff up. Like, this is what Jesus did. Jesus gave us the perfect example through everything that he did here on earth, including this example of how it is to fight against the enemy. And I love that it showed that the enemy kept coming back over and over, because this is letting us know it's not necessarily a matter of how holy you are, because Jesus was extremely holy and Satan kept coming back. And so us as just mere mortal beings who think we're a little bit holy, you know, like Satan's going to come back around. And so we have to have weapons ready. We have to have our ammo, you know, ready for this, but that has to come through us understanding what the word of God says, hiding it in our hearts. It's in Psalm 119, I think, when it talks about, I have stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We're storing the word in our heart. We're loading it up for that time when it's going to be needed against the enemy. And I love that Jesus was like, boom, word of God, word of God, word of God. And so with you talking about your example of having the anxiety attack and how you acknowledged, okay, yes, this is what I'm feeling, but this is what God says. This is how the situation looks, but this is what God says. And this is so important for us as believers, as women, for us. This is how we are empowered to be able to not even just withstand the lies and stuff of the enemy, but to just encourage ourselves as well. I don't feel pretty today, but the word of God says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So I must be popping, you know, like putting both things together. Like, this is how we live this thing out. One thing that I always tell people about is affirmation verses that are, you know, things to encourage yourself in those areas where, you know, you have insecurities, whether it's your looks, there's verses for that. Whether it's you have doubt about a certain situation, your finances, there's a verse for that. You know, there's everything is in here in the word of God. And when we apply it to our lives, we can really see how there's so much power in this word. It's not just, you know, just some book with a bunch of words as every other book is. This is literally living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Like, this book is so powerful and it gives us all the things that we need for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. So with you having the anxiety attack and going through scripture and such, and, you know, and being mindful and going back to the word of God, what did you learn from that experience?
What I learned most from this experience is don't be afraid to ask for help. As a person who specifically struggles with high functioning anxiety, it can make me believe, or people who experience it, that you have to do it all. You have to show up in this way and you can't let people know that you need help. And I also feel like that's just part of being a Christian as well, being a wife, being a mom. Like, you wear so many titles and you always feel obligated to uphold the titles that you have because, well, if I don't have it together, then I'm not worthy of the title that I hold. Like, I have to do this and I have to do that. And in the moment of me experiencing the things that I was feeling, I knew that I needed to ask for prayer from just the people around me who could pray. And this is, again, how the enemy gets to you. So in the moment of the Holy Spirit letting me know, just reach out and ask for help. Reach out and connect with people, get them to pray for you. You don't have to tell them what's going on. Just say you need prayer. The enemy came in and tried to tell me, no, don't ask for help. The only way you can have help is if you do this. And that is a lie. So this is another part I wanted to mention too. If you read the Matthew version of this passage, you'll see how the first two times Jesus was kind of passive about it. Like, yeah, you know, whatever. Like, you know, we're not supposed to tempt our father, so go. But the third time he was extremely adamant, like, nah, you gotta go. Okay. You've been here too much. So you gotta go ahead and go somewhere. And that was what was happening to me. Like, it was a lot of thoughts that was based on my actual situation. So it was very easy to be passive about the couple of thoughts ahead of time and just be like, okay, you know, fine, maybe I don't need help. But then when he came in with something that was completely out of my character, completely against the word of God, I was like, okay, no, we're going to go ask for help, because I know for a fact that my Father in heaven did not say this, did not tell me this, and will never tell me to do this. And that really is the essence of mindfulness. It is understanding who you are as a person, how you personally handle adversity, and where does God's values come into play with your personal makeup.
Yeah. And I love that, because you're not negating who you are, I guess, or like how God created you, but you're also acknowledging that who you are is not necessarily like what God has intended for you to be. There's always room for improvement, development. God is always wanting to do more with us. So it's like, not just accepting like, this is how I am, I guess I'll just be anxious. Like, no, let's go back to the word of God. Like, what is he saying about this? And yeah, sometimes we got to get legit, like, so just ghetto with the devil. Like, I don't know an easier way to put that, but it's like, man, I'm tired of you. Like, you have played this game long enough. We have gone back and forth. We have done this too much. You have got to go. And I know that I've experienced that in my own life. One of my things that the devil really just tried to use with me for years, I had a former addiction to pornography. And so for me, it was like, I finally got to the point, I was like, I am sick of this. Like, you cannot play in my mind anymore. You cannot, you know, like, pervert my thoughts. Like, we're not doing this. We're not. Mm-hmm. And so once you get real tired of it, like, you start putting in that work, you start fighting back. And just like here in verse 13, the devil will leave him. But I wanted to bring up one point about that. So if we look at verse 13, it says, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And so it's showing like, he'll leave you for a little bit, but he gonna come back around with something else. And so this is why we have to be guarded. We have to constantly be in the word, constantly mindful of what God is saying, knowing what we are, who God has created us to be, and constantly not just waiting until the enemy shows up and like, oh girl, let me find my Bible. What's the, you know, it's like, by then it's too late. You got to be ahead. You got to be, like Peter said, vigilant, always just looking around, because the enemy will try to catch you slipping. And so this shows us the enemy may come back around with something new. And so if we are in the word of God, we're storing up our ammo for the next fight. And so when people hear that, like, man, there's another fight, it can seem kind of like, do I really have to do this my whole life? Like, I remember when somebody told me that, like, we're just like in a fight our whole life. And I was like, well, that doesn't sound fun. Like, who wants to do that? But if you know where you're fighting from, it changes everything. We're fighting from a place of victory because we're fighting through the word of God, not in our own flesh. When we try to do things our own way and try to just fix it ourselves, yes, that can get depressing and defeating. But if we're showing up and using God's word, we're already in a place of victory. We've already won. And so it's like, boom, let's just handle this. Come on, enemy, you've already lost, you know?
Absolutely. It's so funny that you said that, because I underlined that as well. And it's true, like, just in a sense of thoughts, you have so, so many thoughts that come across your mind. And you're not going to be able to recognize all of them, because, I mean, life, like, there's so much happening around you. Like, you know, when they say you have a messy space, like, it messes with your mind, it's absolutely true, because it's your thoughts like vying for attention and all the things. But anyway, this is just a reminder that you're going to experience these things and you have to put some things in place so that you can practice. And as you said, be on guard. You have to do the work so that when the battle comes, you may still feel flustered. You may still feel all these things, which is absolutely normal. However, it won't be able to overtake you. You won't be in it for long because my anxiety attack literally was probably 5 minutes, maybe 10 max. And I feel like 10 is probably a stretch. And I know in the past, I would just feel my emotions so much and I just wouldn't want to do anything. I would just be like, nope, I don't want to leave the house. I don't want to just leave me alone, humans, get away from me. But I don't feel that way anymore because I have been able to be more in communication with God in addition to my mindfulness practice. So I'm like, okay, I felt this way for a moment. Like seasons, it's only going to last for a moment. And then eventually, you know, you get to go about your life until the moment comes back and then you just do it again.
Yeah. And I love that you shared of how long or short, I guess, the attack was, because I know people that will have an attack for like 2-3 hours. And so like this can, it gets very draining, but you're showing, look, this is how we're fighting. Like you have victory over this. And that is the difference between going all the way back to something we mentioned earlier in the conversation. That's the difference between just mindfulness in general, because you will hear that in other religions, other practices, whatever, and the word of God. Same thing with affirmations. The world uses affirmations like I'm beautiful, I'm confident, I'm this and that. But I am affirming myself with the word of God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath, right? Like that hits different because this is true. This is not me just saying stuff out of my own will, I guess. This is stuff that is already here and from the word of God. And if we know it's from him, it's true. And so that changes what we're fighting with. Like, I feel like affirmations in the world are good. Yes. Mm-hmm. Affirm yourself. Tell yourself you're beautiful and confident. But I feel like it's like a shotgun versus like a bazooka, you know, like when you hit the word of God, like it's like next level ammo.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like it just hits different. Like nothing will ever top like fighting with the word of God, period. Like there's nothing stronger or greater. And if you have been into other things and have tried to tell you that is, we may need to, you know, there may be other conversations because, you know, the enemy would try to have his way in those areas too. But I love that you shared that and just knowing that this is temporary, right? Like any fight that we have, any temptation, but we can look at 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it talks about no temptation. You know, this temptation doesn't have to overtake you. And there's nothing that is not common to man. So we're all fighting different temptations, but God will always give us a way of escape. That's what his word says. And a way of escape is through his word, mm-hmm. is reminding ourselves of what he has already said and letting us know that we are, you know, fighting from truth, fighting with truth. And the enemy has to flee every time, every single time.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you are continuing to be an advocate for mental health, specifically within the Christian community. I believe it's very necessary. And a lot of times it, as we begin to study God's word and allow it to really rest in our hearts, it will begin to show us different areas of our life that do need work, because we all need work. We are a hot mess. And so, you know, as we're in the word of God, as we're growing and going through this process of sanctification and looking more like Jesus, these are times when we can say, hey, I need a little work in that area. I struggle with that. I have insecurity with that. And I just want to encourage those that are listening or watching, get back into the word of God. This is a great place for you to start. If you don't have money for therapy or counseling, I pray that those funds come in time. But the Bible, you got it right here. And he will begin to show you so much about yourself, about your situation, and you will be better equipped for the fight that we're in.
Yes.
Yeah. So switching gears a little bit. So Grow Black Girl Grow, you have a podcast. You have so many amazing resources for women as they are navigating their mental health. So can you share a little bit about what led you to launch this?
Yeah. So I guess I, well, let me just kind of backtrack. It originally started in my notes section of my phone 2 years ago in the pandemic. And I wanted to do it so badly, but I was afraid to do it. And I mean, let's be real, life. I have two toddlers. They're 18 months apart, and my life is crazy. Yeah. So at the time, I knew for a fact that like it just wasn't the right time because I just had so much going on, and I was definitely still working on myself at the time. So I know like no one is ever going to be like truly ready or truly perfect to do any of the things that they're doing, but I knew that there are still a lot of areas in my own life that I had needed to work on first before I could extend my hand to help others, at least in this capacity. So this year I picked up the microphone and just went at it because I had been keeping podcast episodes and all the things for a long time. Like I had created the art, the name, all of this was done back in 2020. And then I just went ahead for it. Like the funny thing is I did this because I was trying to get a job and part of the job was to find a problem. Well, find the solution to a problem and then create it. And that's what I did. Not thinking that it would end or turn out to what it is. Like I was really just trying to get a job.
I was like, go ahead, girl. Yeah. You go ahead and do that. That's cute. You don't even know what you're doing right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely what happened. And I ended up not getting that job, but I still stuck with it because once I put that first episode out there, Perspective, it blew my mind, like how much feedback I was getting. Like I was getting text messages from close friends and family saying, this was really good. Like you should keep this up. And I was getting opportunities to be mentioned in the local magazines. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm onto something here. So I just continued with it. And as I began to get more serious about it, I was like, okay, God, you know, I think maybe I do want to be a coach. Cause you can go back and look at a live I did in May. I was like, I'm not a coach. I don't want to be a coach. I'm not called to be a coach. No, thank you. I'm just talking about Jesus. Like, but
update, you're a coach.
update. Yes. I actually just finished my certification. So I'm officially a certified life coach as of October, but thank you. And I just really felt the call on my life. The more and more I was getting DMs for people telling me, this episode really blessed my life. When you said this, I thought about this. And it's like, okay, God, well, maybe, you know, maybe we have something here. Maybe, you know, this is what people want, even though I feel like when you're doing the thing, it's like, well, people should know this, right? Because you know it. So you feel like, well, I don't know. I don't want to say anything like people already know. But then when I say the thing, they're like, oh, I had no idea. Can you tell me more about that? Like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
So that was really how we got started.
I love that. Won't he do it? And he just set it right up for you. He's like, okay, so since she's not going to do it the way, you know, in 2020, I got a different plan. Here's this little job. You're not going to get it, but go ahead and do all the work for it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, that's awesome. God knew exactly, you know, who needed to hear what you have to share. And so I'm so glad that you were obedient to continue doing it. And now look where you are. I actually saw your stats from the year 2022 and just hearing all of just the looking at all the growth. And it's like, man, like God is moving. Like, look what obedience gets you, you know? And it's not that we just do it for the rewards or for numbers or statistics, but it's cool to see the fruit of your labor, you know? And so, hey, yeah, I just encourage you to keep going. It's so needed. It's an amazing resource, and I encourage y'all to check it out. And so I want you to just share the different ways that they can connect with Grow Black Girl Grow and all the things that you have going on.
Yes. So I actually do have a free download. So if you're listening and you are someone who struggles with anxiety, you can get my 10 powerful declarations to release anxiety stronghold over you. And I'm sure Stephanie will leave it in the show notes for you to grab it. But it basically just walks you through what high functioning anxiety is, what it looks like in your life, and how it can show up in your faith walk with God. And then I give you 10 done for you declarations so that you can start rewriting your thoughts, because that's basically what my coaching practice is about, teaching women how they can rewrite their thoughts using the Word of God. So it's the same concept of affirmations, but we just take it a little bit deeper. There are also some journal questions inside the workbook. So it is not just your typical, oh, one pager type thing. It's 10 pages. Because I really, really feel so strongly about the mission that God has given me. So
I feel strongly about it too, because that's amazing. Like, and it's such a cool resource, especially for people, like I said, who may not be able to afford their peer counseling or just feel on the fence about it. You know, like there's no shame in that. We understand that everyone may not be super open to it, but this is an amazing resource for you all to begin to rework your thoughts. One of my friends has been struggling with specific thoughts for years. And so now she's taking back the fight. Like she's getting back in the Word of God. And now she's seeing like, man, like I do have the victory, but she's realizing this is a process because of how long I've let the thoughts sit in my head and how long I've begun to believe the lies to where I now think those are truth. But now when she's looking at the Word of God and she's seeing, oh man, these things are lining up, but this is truth. This is the lie. Like she can see the compare and contrast. And so, and that's with no therapy, no counseling. That's just simply going to the Word of God. And so that's an amazing resource. Y'all make sure to check it out. How can they follow you on social media?
Yes, you can follow me at Coach Kiki Upshaw. So that's Coach KikiUpshaw. And you can also follow on YouTube at Grow Black Girl Grow. And that is where you will find meditations that I release. I have a few on Instagram, but I'm now transitioning them over to YouTube so that they can have a playlist, a running playlist.
Love it. It's amazing. And y'all, this is all biblical. This will change so much. This will change the way that you've seen mindfulness meditation. The Bible says the word meditate. Oh, shocker. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, meditate. I don't want to hear it. Shut it down. Nope. The Bible talks about meditating. It's in Joshua. I will meditate on this word day and night. Meditate is just simply where you're putting your focus, where you're putting your thoughts. Are you going to put them on secular things or are you going to put them on the things of God? Simple as that. Y'all, check this out. This is an amazing ministry and I want you to be a part. If you know that mental health has been a struggle for you, check this out. Now, one final thing I did want to say, and we did talk about how the church doesn't necessarily do the best job. We're getting better at it. We're getting better at it. Mental health is becoming more of a popular discussion within the church. But I do believe there is a balance, right? Some people will say like, it's all spiritual. And I'm like, yeah, but there's practical things that you can do too. Some people are like, it's all practical. There's no spiritual concept behind it. But we can see here that the enemy is behind temptation and thoughts and lies. And so we have to make sure that there is a balance, making sure that we're understanding what is practical, what are things that are affecting me just because of my trauma or what I've experienced, or what is an actual spiritual attack. And there's so much more that we can get into. But I just want to encourage y'all, there is a balance, but you don't have to do this alone. There's resources out there, such as this ministry that I want you to be a part of, and I want you to check out. All the links are in the notes. So I want you to click, discover, explore. This is awesome. And I want y'all to be a part. Kiara, thanks so much for being a part of this episode. This was amazing. And I love what you had to share for mental health.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Thank you to all of the listeners who have been lending me their time. I do not take it for granted when people decide to just listen to me for 30 or so minutes.
Yeah, I always say thanks for letting me into the car, living room, kitchen, wherever you're tuning in from right now. So thanks for letting us pop into your life for this 30, 40 minutes. And I'm just glad that we get to do this. It's an honor and opportunity. So for those that are listening and watching, make sure you follow the links that Kiara mentioned, but also make sure you follow and subscribe to Christian Girls Pop. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Girls Pop. And you can check out our website, ChristianGirlsPop.com, and we're on YouTube. You may be watching from there, but if you're not, if you're just listening to the podcast, make sure you follow and subscribe like and subscribe to the YouTube channel at Christian Girls Pop. And for my resources, there is an ebook that I would love for y'all to check out, Scripture Made Simple. This is helping you to understand the Word of God. It's a one-year plan going through the Bible. I give you notes, resources, challenges, devotionals, and there's a great opportunity to be in community with other girls who are also wanting to study the Word. So make sure that you do all the things, click all the links, go everywhere that we just told you to go, and we will catch you next episode. So thanks so much for tuning in, and as always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much. Don't you ever forget that.